Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Hello, everyone.
One of
Roger
these
refuses
things
to wish the Internet a good day.
It is a good day. You know why? Because we're above ground. We don't have to mine for a living.
Yeah, but how many people really mined out of a population?
That wasn't the question.
Although technically, didn't Schwarzenegger come from a mining family? Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Also not even at all related to what I was trying to say.
Did he really
mining for I'm just mining for answers, Tom.
I want
what
to
about spelunking? That would
right.
be fun.
I guess that's a good day underground. That see now you've related it to what I actually said.
Unless you have a disaster,
like,
and
submarines.
Then it's a 2-hour
submarines
movie.
May be good, maybe not. Depends.
Submarine. I don't think I'd like that.
Submarine living could be hard, I would think.
It's 6 months under the waters. Well, not always under the waters, but mostly under the waters.
Yeah. In a tin can full of air.
Underwater.
Sorry, I just found a number that freaked me out. According to PC Gamer, Fortnite made $100 million on iOS, just the iOS version, in 90 days.
Wow.
Crazy.
I think we mentioned that, didn't
you guys
we?
Might have talked about it.
Yeah,
you?
I think it was like the March stats, the first.
And I did
it
not
certainly has been a, that number has been kicking around, but I know they had made a big announcement today.
Yeah, it was some official.
So they probably just updated that number.
That being said, Clash Royale is 150 million in its first 90. So. It's not quite that, is it?
That yeah, I mean that's
Age of Heroes.
It's a lot.
Clash of still, Battlegrounds.
It still throws me when I see L. I'm like, who's that? Oh, it's me. Who's L?
Sorry, I still haven't settled on the right way to distinguish Scott and Sarah.
It's fine.
The
but,
Adventures of Johnson and Lane.
What's your middle name, Scott?
Lane with a B.
I thought you said Lane instead of Blaine. Like, that doesn't help.
Not at all, it turns out.
So you're SBJ?
SBJ, yeah.
Like LBJ, except with an S.
With that, yeah. Hmm. Kind of like I kept doing
Viv.
V-I-V.
Instead of Via.
Don't say V.
I'm so identifying with Mark Searles from CNET about Fortnite.
What did he say?
Fortnite makes me feel like I'm 120 years old. He's the first half of it, he's talking about like how he's such a cool dad and he's down with it. He's totally into video games and plays all of them except Fortnite. And that's what all the kids that come over want to play. Fortnite. And he's just like,
well, you should play it. It's just a third-person shooter. It's like nothing.
I know, but like,
and it's,
you know.
And it's, what was that? I think it was in Northrend. What was that open battleground? Wintergrasp?
Oh, Wintergrasp, yeah. It's the big fight.
Is that that kind of a proto-Fortnite? Would you consider that?
Kind of, except it was team, so it was Horde versus Alliance.
Right,
so was,
right. Versus just open.
Versus, or, you know, 100 enter, one leave kind of battle royale kind of idea.
But yeah, yeah.
Yeah, massive player count. I mean, that was really inventive for its time.
I kind of liked that one. That one was one of
the big favorites. The big winner of this whole thing, of all this battle royale stuff, and there's a ton of games in development. There's big marquee titles, small titles, like everything in between. The big winner here is it's a technical hill that got scaled and leapt over, which is how do we get 100 people in the same map? It totally works. So no one ever talks about that, but that's like the big thing. It's like engines and video cards and processing power and AI and all this stuff has gotten to a place where we can, you know, we're doing something new enough to just like Rickroll the entire industry with one game, two games.
Rickroll. The only, what's Fortnite considered? Third person, is it not competitive or?
Oh, it's definitely competitive.
Competitive team. I mean, like, what's the.
It's the whole new, that genre is now called the Battle Royale genre. And it's this idea of, it's all based on that old movie, not that old, but the movie from the early 2000s from Japan, Battle Royale.
Yeah, I have it.
What's that other one that we all had? Hunger Games, it's like that. 100 people enter, or whatever number you have your game at, and one leaves.
Also known as PUBG.
Yeah, PUBG does it. They weren't first, though. Although a lot of people think they were, but
that's
they weren't.
That's not what they say.
They're suing Epic for, I mean, I don't know, maybe they have to sue them, but ironically, they're using Epic's engine, which is part of the lawsuit, because they're like, what we did to change the engine is part of what they used in Fortnite. Fortnite was a game nobody cared about, and suddenly they did. It's a big, messy mess. But a lot of money to be made, and that's why, you know.
Like I just want a new Left 4 Dead.
You may get it. There's talk of one.
Yeah.
You know what
I think? That thing was the bee's knees when it was like popular.
Yeah, I love that game.
There's something about a a shared that you're all kind of screwed, and the whole point is cooperative survival.
Yeah. There are a bunch of those. That's still a hot genre. There's games like that new game they showed at E3, and they showed it last year and this year, talked more about it, but Anthem is in a lot of ways Destiny is that. It's at least an offshoot of that. But even like the Vermintide games 1 and 2, which are these like
more- I tried playing Vermintide, but what I really like for Left 4 Dead is just the way it's set up. There's only 4, no more.
Yeah.
There's definitely a limit or a timer in the game that pushes you forward constantly. There's a definite end.
Yeah,
it's just done and you're done.
Yeah. Vermintide was like that kind of. The new one especially. But I suspect that will continue to be a refined genre. I mean, new genres are fun because I like to see where they end up going. So this battle royale thing is less interesting to me as it stands today. I'm more interested in what it'll be in 5 years because I think there's going to be some cool innovation around it.
If they can integrate some of the social aspects where you can do like kind of Survivor where you make alliances and you share things, assets, and then, I mean, I guess it's kind of like that now, but.
Yeah, there's a few in development that are more like that, more focused on that.
Like I was playing Far Cry and I just kind of fell off. I was like, man, this is boring.
Well, the Far Cry games have turned into a very, well, the big question, Tom and I talked about this last night on Current Geek. The big question will big single player games like Far Cry, like Assassin's Creed, like whatever game you want to name, do they really have a future, or is everything going to be a game as a service, multiplayer focused, you know, non sort of linear?
I think those games can encompass both, but they need to be able to be playable individually without necessarily you can surround yourself with other player characters, but you don't necessarily need to interact with them to finish the game.
Yeah, it's Far Cry.
That's why World of Warcraft was such a big deal at the time, is that if Tom and I wanted to play together, we could. If we wanted to play in a big 25 man raid, we could. But if Tom wanted to go quest in a part of the world no one's with him, he could.
Yeah,
like I agree. Like, I think they need to keep that player base happy because there's a huge portion of people.
I mean, there's times where, you know, if you want to play with people, and you know this with raids, you got to show up on time with everyone else.
Yeah. And there's something really cool about that.
And but at the same time, it's like, man, I got, you know, you're late from work or something. I got to get home. That used to happen at GameSpot. There were a couple of people who would wow. It's like, oh, I got to leave, get home in time for the raid. It's just weird. This is like, okay, why don't you just do it at work? It's like, no, yeah. My stuff at home. It's like,
eh. Your Cheetos and stuff.
Your snacks and.
Sure.
I don't know.
It is interesting, though. And like Fortnite's doing cool stuff with like 50 on 50, and they'll have a weird mode where they had that Thanos event where if you became Thanos, it was everybody versus you. And if you killed Thanos, you got a ton of stuff. If Thanos killed you, you're out and you're, you know, got to start over. And he was super overpowered, and that lasted like, I don't know, a week during that time that movie came out. So there's just, they're getting pretty inventive. That game is a bona fide huge monster hit. And their biggest player, that ninja guy on Twitch, makes, I don't know, $3 million a quarter or something just playing on Twitch.
Yeah, wasn't he in the...
Drake appeared on his stream. I know that.
Right, right.
But he was
somehow related to the Instagram announcement too, but I don't...
Oh, really? Interesting.
I thought I saw his name fly across when I was reading up on that, but I could be wrong.
Some kind of game-focused content on there? That's interesting.
Oh, no. Yeah, he took the picture that I put in the Slack of all the Instagram stars. It's taken by Ninja.
Oh, really?
Yep. He was at that event.
That dude rocketed from nobody to everybody.
Tyler Blevins.
Yeah. He's a big deal, that guy.
It's weird. I don't really fall out of the Twitch like playthroughs. But if there's weird? A game, if there's a game I'm trying to play through and I don't know what I'm doing, I watch.
Ah, I see.
Just, like I like, oh, okay, I understand what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you go to YouTube for that mainly, right?
Yeah,
because it's all there. You can skip around. Live stuff makes less sense when you're doing that. The live thing's more, it's turned out to be, despite all my whatever I thought I was going to be, it's turned out to be more of a, it's just like event TV. It's like, oh, my favorite personality is playing a thing. It's less about the thing and more about
the personality.
Yeah. So
it's probably why I don't watch too much of it, because none of those personalities gel with mine. I have a very particular, like, personal. Like,
you probably don't watch it for the same reason you don't watch a lot of movies and TV shows too. You just don't have time.
Yeah,
that's why I don't watch a lot of it.
I am so behind on Expanse. I just watched episode 5 of the current season.
You're ahead of me. I'm just gonna binge it.
Catch up, you guys. Catch up.
You know,
so good.
You know what? I'm starting tonight. That's it. I'm done waiting. It's happening.
I tried to get back into Westworld for you, Tom.
You did? Dude, you tried?
Love this season.
I will continue to try. Right. I've only gotten to like episode 3, but I just find myself drifting.
Don't
like,
do it for me. Do it for, or if you don't enjoy it, stop. That's what I'm trying to say.
Keep waiting for it to get better, because that happens sometimes.
I mean, but if the reasons I thought it got better don't appeal to you, then it's not, you know, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Starting the stream.
I really like the season, and that one with the whole Ghost Nation storyline.
See, she has got to that, but
it's so good.
That one started to get better.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain shows like the show Vita. I don't know if anyone's watching that. It's on Stars. At first I was like, this isn't the show for me. And now I'm kind of hooked, but it took like 5 episodes.
Oh, like Life, the Spanish word for Vita. For exactly. Life, I mean, Vita.
I was hoping you were going to say it's the story that chronicles the downfall of Sony's handheld game system.
Not Vita.
I thought it was going to be the untold story of the company that merged with Vell to create a new cheese project.
It's what we will all be using in place of Via from now on.
Right. I'm going to do that. I'm going to say I heard about this Vita NPR the other morning.
Yeah, that'll make me feel even better.
Vell and Vita got together and made cheese.
One was a milk processor. The other was a spread maker.
You put those two words together and made cheese is my contention. That's what happened. Tom made the cheese today.
I sure did.
Well done.
Well, okay. We're not going to have any news break, right? 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 Right?
I've been looking.
Yeah, I've been looking too.
It's kind of calmed down a bit.
No. Everybody was at the Instagram announcements, and there's nobody left to write any news.
1 billion users.
Whoa.
It's a lot.
Why don't they just take a collage of everyone's Instagram and make one planet Earth?
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's been done. I'm not even joking. Like, I'm pretty sure someone did something like that.
I always like that stuff because I like to zoom around. Yeah. I want something.
Sounds like a Google thing
that you didn't want to see and you can't unsee.
Oh yeah, no, Google does that with if you allow your photo to be used on maps, it will attach it to the map so that you can see.
Oh right,
and then Google Earth has an overlay that uses that.
Microsoft had a thing that they were touting a long time ago at one of their events, and they never. I don't know if it ever got followed through on, but they had a big plan for.
No, I mean like a photo mosaic.
Yeah, no, I think Google Earth had something like that.
Yeah.
Listen, man, it's the internet. If you think of something, the first thing you should ever do is search to find out if somebody did it, because they probably did.
Yes. Three-legged gerbil porn.
Done. Found it.
Done.
It's a genre on YouTube. Coming soon to IGTV.
It's a category.
Coming soon to IGTV.
Extreme sports chimps.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Don't say ideas like that one. That's a good one.
That's the one you say for when all your chips are down and you need to.
Yeah. Or all your chimps are down.
Chimps are down.
The most extreme primate video, 2004.
Whoa.
Wait, is primate just another word for human?
No, it's chimps.
No, I mean like extreme sports, not extreme video. It has to be an extreme sport.
Oh,
still not. Like, I'm not betting against it existing.
BMXing.
What you want?
Road luge.
You want an ape on a motorcycle or some kind of like skateboard going off sick jumps? Is what
I'm just saying. Like, yeah, what we're doing now is what you have to do if you want to have a new idea. Like, don't just say ape sports. You got to start refining it. Like, okay, do a few searches, find out what's been done with ape sports, then pivot.
I want a chimp surfing on a dolphin.
It's probably been done.
Top searches are chimp surfing dolphin. Can also be a porpoise.
It could be.
Oh my God, there's multiple images. Now, they're all fake.
But
dolphin pulls water skiing chimpanzee video.
Right.
From the Associated Press.
No. The chimp is on the dolphin.
See, now this is where we get the better idea. We refine it and say, no. When I say on, he has to be on.
Not around, not within close proximity.
All right, we should probably do the show.
Yeah. You're totally right. This is a lesson.
We'll get back to this $1 million idea after the show.
And it is $1 million.
All right, here we go. 3, 2. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, June 20th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Studio, my daughter's dog tore up the thing upstairs and now there's foam everywhere. I'm Scott Johnson.
And of course, our producer, Roger Chang.
Hello, everyone.
That was a enticing introduction today, Roger. Hello. I like it too. We're going to talk about being brave with your browser and maybe getting paid for it. But let's start with a few tech things you should know.
IDC reports shipments of AR and VR headsets dropped 30.5% year over year in Q1. Most of the decline was attributed to the end of bundling deals that included headsets with the purchase of a smartphone. So there are fewer of those. IDC believes that the market will return maybe growth of about 6% by the end of this year.
That all sounds right. Microsoft launched Microsoft News. I got this morning before the show, so I've had a chance to mess with it. A news engine that comes with rebranded apps for iOS and Android and powers MSN.com, Microsoft Edge, and news app in the Windows 10 system. Of course, you have stuff coming through Skype, Xbox, and Outlook.com. MSN.com will keep its name. Microsoft News curates news from 800 editors worldwide. Just a quick note, it's like what you expect. It's kind of like Flipboard or a million of those other competitors, but I welcome them to the fray.
Can't wait for the eventual rebranding of Microsoft News apps to MSN.
There you go.
Disney raised its offer for the large majority of 21st Century Fox that it wants to buy. The offer is now valued at about $71.3 billion. That's up from the previous offer of $52.4 billion and now worth more than Comcast's competing offer of $65 billion. Comcast's bid is all cash. So what Disney did in this new offer is said shareholders have the option of either receiving cash or Disney stock. Executive chairman at 21st Century Fox, Rupert Murdoch, issued a statement praising the Disney deal.
It's like an auction. Who will be the highest bidder? 100 Microsoft employees signed an open letter urging CEO Satya Nadella to cancel contracts with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and clients who directly enable the agency. In an internal memo, Satya Nadella said that Microsoft is only supporting legacy mail, calendar, messaging, and document management workloads for the agency.
Whole thing, to be honest, made me think, oh, I bet ICE still uses Windows XP.
Oh, I bet they do.
Let's talk a little bit more about clothing, Scott. Yeah,
let's do it. Time to move to Vista, everybody on the border. Amazon's in the news, as they often are, and they're making its wardrobe service available to all U.S. Prime members. So here's what you do. Shoppers go to a special wardrobe section of Amazon where they can pick between 3 and 8 items of clothing to try. This is starting to sound like a familiar service. You're probably not wrong. There's a lot of these sorts of things, but this is Amazon. Customers then have a week to try them on before sending them back or paying for them. Wardrobe has clothing from Amazon in-house brands, as well as bigger names like Adidas, Levi's, and Tommy Hilfiger. I'm trying this, by the way, because I have gone through a number of these man clothes fitting services, and none of them really work for me very well. So I think this is actually for me, to be honest.
Well, yeah. Amazon doing this, because of course you can buy a lot of clothes through Amazon, makes a lot of sense. But if the other services haven't worked for you, Scott, why didn't they? And can Amazon solve whatever issue that was?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, part of it feels like, well, maybe I'm this is just another step into the ecosystem, getting a little bit more out of my Prime membership. Cost maybe a little lower. I'm fine with going with Amazon branded picks and Amazon choice types of stuff, which is what a lot of this clothes will be. I'm not picky that way. So for me, it sounds like I may save money versus some of these other services. And then some of them just don't like tall people straight up. They don't give me the tall versions of stuff I need. So I got shirts that look like I'm trying to show off my butt crack every time I bend over. So outside of that small personal note, I'm going to definitely try this and see what's up.
Couple of important notes for those of you out there who do use things like Stitch Fix or Latote or Mr. Collection. There's no subscription for this. Unlike those other, you don't have to pay. You just order. If you don't buy anything, you don't pay anything. That's a big differential there.
But yep. If you wear something for a week and you decide, I don't like this, who gets it next?
You're only supposed to try it on. You're not supposed to wear it around.
Well,
store.
And there are rules about what condition it's supposed to be in when it
gets
in.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, it's okay.
The EU's Legal Affairs Committee approved the copyright directive, including Articles 11 and 13 that we talked about last Thursday and yesterday with Patrick Beja. Article 11 requires sites to pay a license to publishers to include snippets of content in addition to links, like on Google News, for example. Article 13 makes sites liable for copyright infringement by users unless upload filters are put in place. Next steps for the directive include passing through the EU Council, so it would have to get approval there, and then it would face a final European Parliament vote, a plenary session, as it is called. That's expected to happen sometime between December at the earliest or the first half of 2019. Now, a few folks out there are still confused about the two directives. I highly recommend you go back and listen to Thursday's show for a more comprehensive discussion. But one common request is to explain what the two articles are intended to do. Article 11 is intended to stop Google and Facebook from linking to publishers' content without paying a fee. They believe a snippet of a sentence or two should be considered copyright infringement. It's not currently. It's considered fair use or the equivalent thereof. So they want this new directive to say, no, you have to pay for that. Article 13 is intended to stop copyright infringement by users who upload content to sites. So it takes away the safe harbor protection from a site unless they show they're attempting to stop users from uploading infringing items by putting in some sort of filter. And then they get some of those safe harbor protections back.
So if I raised my hand and said, but Tom, how about just a link? Do links count as a snippet or just content from where the link goes?
Just a link won't count as a snippet. There is some debate over whether the headline, if you scrape the headline from the site and use the exact same headline, whether that would count.
Okay. I don't know how to feel about this yet. I mean, what I'm going to do is actually go back and listen to Thursday's show and get the comprehensive, but I still, I don't know, part of me knee jerks on this, and then part of me is like, well, all right, we'll see how it goes. I don't know how to feel.
Well, let's see how you feel about IGTV. Instagram announced IGTV, Instagram television, for longer form videos from content creators. All content creators, by the way, anybody can do this. IGTV will be both a standalone app, and then you can also watch from within the Instagram app itself. And from the Explore tab, that's how you get to it, through Instagram. IGTV lets users, not just celebrities, upload videos. They're vertical. They're not square cropped like Instagram has been historically, up to 1 hour long. That's a huge jump from the 1 minute maximum that Instagram currently allows, through the app or Instagram's web interface. So you can upload through the web interface as well. Viewers can use the Browse tab to see recommended and popular videos, creators they're following. The company also announced it has 1 billion users.
I think the most interesting thing about this isn't going to raise the cap on Instagram posts. Those will still be capped at 60 seconds. That's what they're correct. Saying is we want to have a new section that competes with YouTube, essentially, called IGTV. And in fact, we're going to have a new app for that, but we're going to make it available in Instagram because we know that's where all of your followers are. And so anybody that follows you on regular Instagram will also, like with Stories, follow you on IGTV. It's now the third service that Instagram is providing.
Yeah, so, and I mean, like YouTube, anybody can have an account and upload videos, whether anybody watches them or not, you're allowed to participate. But, and Instagram says for now, no commercials, but if you read the tea leaves, obviously their big creators can make the company and the creators money.
No, they actually went ahead and said, like, we want creators who have brand relationships to make money, so we will allow them to link out from these videos to those brands. So that's acknowledged. That's built right in.
I just don't like this talk of vertical instead of square. Mm. Not that I need square, but how about a little horizontal, people? I don't want to watch my content in vertical view only.
Okay, old man, get with the times. Everything's vertical now with the kids.
Complaining about verticals so 4 years ago.
If eventually your Roku or your Apple TV gets an app for this, which would be great, and you get the content there like you can for YouTube TV and other stuff, hey, why not have that so I can look at it on a TV without wanting to shoot something? I mean, seriously, horizontal, baby. Forget this vertical business.
Old man yells at horizontal video of cloud.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what, because there's always celebrities on all these platforms, who kind of rises to the top. Is it the same folks who currently enjoy a lot of success and viewership on the shorter videos that they upload to Instagram? Is it a whole new crop of folks? How does it compete with something like YouTube, which seems like the most obvious competitor? I don't know. I don't watch any videos on Instagram. I hate Instagram videos, but I'm also an old
person. This will change it for you.
Perhaps.
Is what perhaps. Instagram hopes. A team at MIT has developed a system that monitors human brainwaves to help robots correct errors. This is really cool. Human brains naturally send a signal called error-related potentials, or ERRPs, when you notice a mistake. This is not something you have to think about. It's just a natural thing that they found. Like, if you're watching someone else do something and you see them make a mistake, your brain sends out this ERRP signal. So they monitor that while you're watching the robot do its work. And when the monitor notices an ERRP signal, it tells the robot to pause. So as you see the robot about to make a mistake, your brain signals involuntarily, and the robot pauses and goes, whoa, what am I doing? Then you can make a hand gesture. There's also monitors to look at your hand gestures, so you don't even have to speak. You just point and be, or, you know, or make a hand gesture and tell the robot what it should be doing instead. The robot corrects itself and goes on. Now, obviously, this won't work for every situation. This is the beginning of this system. But for testing it, they had a robot moving a power drill to a target. They had like several targets, and the robot would have to hit the right target as it was drilling. And they improved from 70% correct selection of the robot to 97% once they used this new mind reading system.
Wow. Well, the headset part is rad. I'll give it points for that. And also, I think the potential of this is really cool. And also, the shortening of the name is great. It literally says ERP.
You mean the error-related potential is
cool. Yeah, there you go.
It's sort of like when you say that to another human about to make a mistake. ERP!
ERP. Yeah, right. No, that's exactly it. And what's amazing is this gives the humans a role with the robots. Where, oh, the robots are going to take our jobs. We're going to be the supervisors, and it'll be super easy because we don't even have to think about it. We just have to watch and go, oh, you know, and that's it. And then maybe wave our hands.
Well, I look forward to digital error-related potentials, or DERPs. Those will be great. Let's talk about AMC, not the channel, but the theater chain. They have extended its Stubbs loyalty program, which is something they already had, but it's more now. It includes a subscription service called Stubbs A-List. It's for $19.95 a month and starts on June 26th, so not very much longer from now. Members of the service can have up to 3 movies a week, and multiple movies in one day if they wish. So let's say you wanted to see, I don't know, The Incredibles 2, and you wanted to watch it 3 times on a Saturday. You could do that, but that would be your week. This includes, and this is the important part, and one of the big distinguishing factors between this and MoviePass, that includes IMAX and 3D, Atmos system, all that kind of stuff. Up to 3 reservations can be made in advance. The plan also waives online ticketing fees and offers discounts on food and drinks. My understanding is some of that food and drink stuff is upgrades. So like if you got a medium thing, you get a large for no extra cost, that sort of stuff. So we'll see how it goes. $20 a month for AMC's attempt.
I didn't see that it included Atmos, but I guess that makes sense. Did you see that somewhere?
I did. So we did an article this morning on TMS. And in there, it listed Atmos.
Nice.
They could have listed it thinking that, well, of course it's there because this is the one thing everybody wants. So I don't have a good source on that. But
I think the advanced reservations is one of the more important advantages here too, because you can't, with MoviePass, you have to be in the theater present. You have to be in the location. They geolocate you before they can approve the purchase. And obviously, this is AMC's way to compete with MoviePass. And if you go to AMC theaters regularly for your movies, this is a better deal, even though it's more expensive. If you see but one or two movies a month, it's probably worth it because you get the advanced ticket sales. You can see the IMAX and 3D movies if you want. You get the Stubbs loyalty integration, which you don't necessarily with MoviePass, even though people have tried to work around that. It's a really good offering by AMC, although it locks you into AMC.
Yeah, Sarah, that's the only thing. Well, I don't know. I see a lot of indie movies, and so I'm not necessarily at AMC theaters. And I also don't go to as many movies as some of you. So this is the sort of thing where I'm like, I would pay $20 a month and like maybe see one movie or end up seeing a movie I didn't really want to see because I'm trying to like deal with the, you know, this offering that I have. But for anybody who loves the theater, and you're right, Tom, AMC is, you know, first run movies, lots of theaters, lots of locations, lots of movies. So I don't know.
I'll tell you what, if I didn't have a wife who worked for Fandango and the benefits thereof that accrue, I would absolutely do this because most of the time I end up going to AMC theaters to see movies with the exception of a Cinemark. And this could drive me away from choosing the Cinemark because honestly, it's more about time convenience when I choose between the two versus brand loyalty or even location.
And for those of us who have, I'm sorry, Scott, for interrupting you. Those of us who are so used to reserved seating, which I am, like I won't even go to a theater anymore unless it has reserved seating because it's just such a nice way to go to the theater. That's a huge plus.
The advance, because you can still get the reserved seating with MoviePass, but you have to wait until you show up at the theater, which means all the good seats are gone. Go ahead, Scott.
No, that was exactly what I was going to ask is about the reserve seating situation and if AMC is offering that as part of this or I don't.
Because you can do advanced purchases. Reserve seating is just part of buying the ticket. It doesn't really matter what service you use. But when you buy a ticket in advance, you get a better chance of picking a good seat. Whereas if with MoviePass, one of the reasons that I wouldn't want to use it here is I have to wait until right before the show to buy my ticket, which means I'm probably going to be sitting way up front or something. I don't like that.
Yeah,
that's the old way of doing it.
Hey folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines. You can get it at dailytechheadlines.com. All right, the Brave browser, we've talked about on the show before. It's an independent browser that blocks ads and trackers by default. One of the things we've talked about previously on the show is that it uses its own cryptocurrency called the Brave Attention Token, or BAT, to let you pay websites either a regular amount, you can say, oh, give this much to them every month, or automatically based on how much time you spend. And that was one of the coolest parts of it is you could tell Brave, just track my, you know, how much time I spend at these participating sites and then split the money up amongst them based on that at the end of the month. The sites have to register with Brave in order to receive the payment. So it doesn't work for sites that haven't registered. And at this point, most sites haven't registered. But Brave is doing something new. Users can opt in right now to a trial that will deliver 250 prepackaged ads. Now, I know I said it does ad blocking, but they want to reward publishers for responsible ads, and this is their way of doing it. Brave says during the test, they will track users, but not share that information with third parties. The reason they want people to agree to be tracked is so they can train a machine learning algorithm to eventually be used on the device itself in the browser and Brave never see what it learns about you. So if you want to join this, you can do so at community.brave.com. The whole point of the test, the end goal for Brave, is that you would be able to opt in to ad delivery that would be downloaded to your browser, like a package of ads would be downloaded to your browser, and then on your device, the machine learning algorithm would determine which of those ads to show you in the browser based on what it has learned on your device about you, but that would never be shared with anyone else. It would stay on your device. It would not leak out any personal information about you. And users would get 70% of the revenue from the ads in the form of the Brave Attention Token that they could then use to pay the sites that they like the content from. Another thing to note here is that Brave was founded by former Mozilla CEO Brendan Eich. He left Mozilla after a lot of controversy over his donation of $1,000 to support a California amendment to ban gay marriage. So some people are never going to use Brave just on that alone. But it is, besides that, a very interesting approach to say, let's have responsible ads that don't track you and you get paid for seeing them.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to know, yeah, what does that 70% of the ad revenue in the form of crypto come out to? You know, I know that these are early days.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But, you know, it's like the incentive to, I don't know, buy a machine and start mining Bitcoin. To me, I'm like, I have no incentive because it's like way too late. And, you know, it's going to take forever. But yeah, what are we talking about?
Yeah, here? And because to be clear, you don't have to do any mining here. There's no mining involved. I know that cryptocurrency usually goes hand in hand with that. It's just using the token as a payment. They're even saying, like, eventually we might want to not even have to use the token and do regular payments, but that's a little farther down the line. They also want the token to be used for other things outside the browser.
So my biggest hang up with this, I think there's some interesting technology and interesting philosophical sort of underpinnings on this, and I think that's it's great to see something like this join the fray of browsers. My biggest problem is I don't know how practical it sounds on the face of it to people who are just looking for a better browsing experience. So if somebody's coming along and going, hey, Scott, what do you recommend these days? Chrome's really bogged down on my notebook, or I can't stand Edge, or there's a problem with Firefox. I like to give them alternatives and tell them where to go. I don't know that Brave is giving me enough here to have that make any sense to anybody, even on a surface level. I may have some friends that are into cryptocurrency and they're mining Bitcoin or whatever they're doing, and maybe they're all over this by now, but it feels like a weird play to just sort of placate that market or people that are into cryptocurrency value.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing this up, because that is the difficulty in being transparent and explaining this, but risking giving a misimpression. Has nothing to do with cryptocurrency. They're just using the token so that they can more easily manage the payments. The only reason they're even mentioning that they use the token, I think, is because they want to be clear about how that happens. But you don't have to know anything about cryptocurrency. You don't have to know anything about anything. The key, it's kind of a chicken and egg problem. If they get enough people participating in this, the user would download Brave, answer a question. Are you okay with ads? Yes. Great. Would you like us to automatically determine how to pay sites, or would you like to pick them yourself? You know, you make the choice, and then that's it. You don't have to know anything. You don't even have to know cryptocurrency is under the hood. You use an entirely different payment processor to cash out your money. I've signed up dailytechnewsshow.com today, and so I know how it works, and it uses a payment processor. It's not PayPal, but it's one like that to get you your cash. So there's nothing about, there's nothing, none of that hype around, you know, cryptocurrency around it, except when they sort of indicate that, like, oh, maybe BAT could be used to purchase other things outside the browser sometime, but you can absolutely turn them into cash.
Yeah. I mean, it's a unit of measurement. Yeah. That's just the unit that we're using. I think, Scott, you make a good point, right? If anybody is really dedicated to, you know, the advancement of machine learning models, and specifically advertisers and, you know, third parties having a lot less data on us end users, then I think that this whole thing sounds great. It's really interesting. I'd love to see how it evolves. And at the same time, Tom's explanation, like, wait, it's not about cryptocurrency. Don't worry. It's like, that's already the problem for a lot of people. It's like, is it a good browser? Does it look good?
Yeah.
And it is a fast browser.
The plugin situation, like, talked about this morning, and Tom made a good point about speed. I was noticing some of they had some speed stuff on there, which appeals to me. I look at it and go, oh, how are we performing versus, say, Chrome, which is kind of the juggernaut right now? And it shows better speeds across the board. Tom was very quick to point out, so is everything else, until they start adding features that make it compete well enough with Chrome to have people switch because they have the features, but those features slow things down. Like, all of that stuff matters to me as well. And I guess all I'm saying is it's a weird pitch. Like, it's a pitch that I don't think is at a universal, like, hey, everyone who uses the internet, check this out kind of pitch.
Although it is just a, you know, it blocks ads by default, right? So even if you weren't going to be a power user, you know, helping robots understand our browsing behavior better, if it's a good browser, then all is not lost.
Right.
And honestly, the pitch is super easy. It's hey, would you like a browser that keeps your information private and actually cuts you in on the money made from advertisements and blocks the rest of the ads? That's an easy pitch, right? But the pitch becomes complicated when people go, well, hold on, how do you do that? Like, that sounds great. How does it work? And so once you start explaining how it works, then the pitch becomes more complicated.
Right.
Yeah. That's why I said it's kind of a
turns on us and then shares the data with
Well, no, and that is the great thing about the eventual goal after they train the machine learning algorithm is they will have the data stored with your browser. So you are in control of it, which is something that, that most of these systems, like, trust us, we'll keep it private. It's like, it's not even going to be on their servers.
Right. It might even be better just to say, hey, co-founder of Mozilla is making a new browser. You guys should check it out. And kind of, I mean, if someone asks me,
that's, you know, fraught with peril as well, isn't it?
It is, but they could go and look at it themselves and say, oh, it's walking me through this process of signing up a thing that lets me do cool stuff like blocking it. Oh, neat. Like, they'll learn it on their own without me having to give them a PowerPoint. I feel like maybe that's the better way to push this thing, but I don't know. It's weird.
Brave new world.
The payment processor is called Uphold at uphold.com if you want to, if you were interested in how you get your money out of it.
Nice.
Well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. Submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. You can also hang out on Facebook with us, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. And thanks to everybody who gives us great ideas every day.
And thanks to everybody who sends us the emails.
Those too. So, pardon me, John, who's an IT manager at a 911 center in Pennsylvania, was listening to our show with Justin the other day where we were discussing how iOS 12 will have emergency kind of 911 geolocating built in. So it's not exactly like Find My Friends geolocating, but we sort of were kicking around the idea of, okay, does this, you know, does 911 need more? Does 911 need this and how would it make it better? John says, when you call 911 and the 911 operator asks, where are you? What's your address? They don't just hang up after verifying where you are. Then the operator needs to determine if the caller needs police or a fire department, medical services, maybe all three, maybe a combo of the three. And then the 911 operator needs to interrogate the caller to make sure that the proper response is sent to the emergency. Is it a prior burglary? Or is the burglary happening right now? Those are kind of different situations. Is it a single family home? Is it a nursing home? Does the medical situation require basic or advanced life support? And so on. Third, the 911 operator can offer critical instructions to save a life, CPR instructions, even instructions to deliver a baby. These are highly skilled folks. Being able to pinpoint a caller's exact location is the first step in the 911 response process. But the process goes a long way from there to provide emergency services, and tech is not able to bridge that gap yet, at least not yet, on its own, without a human 911 operator.
I agree. I'm glad they're on that line and that it isn't just some robot determining whether they need to come help me with my heart attack in the middle of the park.
Yeah, I'm still confused what Justin's problem was. Like, I thought this was a pretty straightforward story of like, hey, now iOS, like Android and other operating systems, will be able to share a more accurate location data with a 911 operator to speed things along. And Justin got into like, why is it even neat? I didn't quite understand.
Well, contributed to that as well. I have been lucky enough to never call 911 in my life, not that I can recall. So I don't know that much about what goes on behind the scenes. So I was really glad that John wrote in.
Yeah,
but
thanks, John.
We were sort of saying, is this something that 911 has needed and just doesn't have? And is Apple kind of swooping in to make the whole process better? And I think what John's point is, there's nothing wrong with having added value, but there's nothing that you know, pressing a button on your iPhone.
And by the way, when you say it the way you said it just now, Apple sweeping in to make it better, it gives Apple way too much credit. Apple's behind. They are the last one to the party to implement this on their operating system. So it's Apple finally adding a thing that helps. But at least, John points out like, hey, don't worry about the human operators. They're not going to get replaced by this anytime soon. And that's important too.
Yeah.
Because as he very eloquently pointed out, there's a lot that happens in these calls. And I have called 911 before. So I don't know. Maybe that's the difference in the attitude too.
Yeah. Well, thank you, John. It's always nice to have somebody who's an expert in a topic that we discussed to give us more context. Never stop. Also, thanks to Scott Johnson, an expert in all things.
Well,
what's been going on since last week?
I'll tell you what. You want the 411 on what I'm doing. That's the thing. You can call 411. I guess you can. Head on over to frogpants.com. That's where you'll find everything I do, including all of the shows, all the show notes and content that I create, including all the artwork and everything else. If you have any passing interest in anything else I'm doing, that's the place to go, frogpants.com. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Scott Johnson.
Look, we don't know if 411 is a joke in your town, but we do know that if you need information about technology, Daily Tech News Show is committed to bringing it to you. And we do it because you want it, because you make it happen. Thanks to everybody who supports us at patreon.com/DTNS and the folks who are so excited about the show, who write in like John did and help make it better, and even wear our shirts and our hoodies and our hats to kind of spread the word. You guys help make the show even more successful as well. And if you want more information on how to find those hats and shirts and stuff, go to dailytechnewsshow.com/store.
If you've got feedback, questions, comments, anything, feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com is our email address. We are also live if you want to join us. We'd love to have you Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
The aforementioned Justin Robert Young will be back with us tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I wasn't trying to throw Justin under the bus either. I just didn't quite get his point. I think it was a me problem, not a Justin problem.
Exactly. But I mean, I remember sort of saying like, yeah, but, you know, what is 911 lacking? Is it, you know, is this an outdated system type thing? I just didn't know.
Well,
I don't think he was saying 911, you know, isn't good.
The assumption I was making is that we all understand that when you have a fixed landline, they know where you are. But when you have a cell phone, for a long time, they had no idea where you are. And this is one of the steps into closing that gap so that when you have a cell phone, they can get back to that same kind of service they had on the fixed line and be like, oh, okay, we know where you are. You don't have to tell us. We can confirm it with you. But if you're in a situation where you can't speak, you know, or you're having a medical problem, that way they would be able to send help to your location without you having.
I'm really trying to think now. Have I ever called 911?
I have called it a couple of times for something that happened that I was a witness to.
I requested somebody call it once because a kid had a seizure in the house when they were over for a party thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, seizure. I've had 911 called because of me. I didn't call.
I have called twice, one to report a fire and another one to report a fight in the middle of the street.
I do remember, I'm not proud of this, but I was only like four. A friend of mine and I were pranking the fire department. Oh, we were calling 911, but we were calling the fire department. I don't even know what
by
the
calling
was.
The direct
like it was
line
on a fridge or something. Yeah. And just being like, hee hee. And somebody showed up at the house. It was at her house, not mine. At fireman. And boy, were we in trouble. He didn't show up because he thought that there was an emergency. He showed up to talk to her
to
mother.
Tell you, yeah, stop it.
Yeah. 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 Don't do this. Don't do this. Yeah. It was a shameful day. But I learned a lot.
I remember the police showed up my door and asked for me when I was 16, which is scared the living crap out of me. Cause I hadn't done anything as far as I'd known. And apparently I had ignored a crossing guard when driving back from work that afternoon.
How long was the time between that happening and somebody coming to your
like a couple door? Hours.
Huh.
So apparently the crossing guard had got upset I just missed her. I wasn't looking, you know?
Yeah.
The crossing guard got upset because she was telling me to stop and I kept going, took down my license plate, called it into the police. The police ran the plate and then came to my house.
So it wasn't like she's like that little Tom Merritt. She didn't know who you were.
She might have actually. It's a small enough town that you know, if she recognized the car, she would have known who I was. But I assumed she just ran the plate. Policeman knew who I was because it was John King. He was the chief engineer at the radio station where I worked.
Nothing ever makes me feel worse than when I don't realize that there's a pedestrian and you're like, I'm so sorry, you know, and they're understandably like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know, you're about to kill them. Not on purpose.
I've been very attentive to crossing guards ever since.
Yeah. What's wrong with you? You almost hit me. I'm sorry. I'll hit you next time.
Also, I didn't want to ask during the show and derail us too much, but is 411 still a thing?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I was
called it. I get AT&T's AT&T assistance thing. So I don't know if it's unique to carriers or if on a landline it's something else. I don't know how it works.
But like, so if I dial 411, I think it's star 411 or something, I could reach.
Stay on the line. Para español, oprima el número dos.
I got directory assistance.
Really?
Yep. On T-Mobile.
Yeah. Huh.
But didn't it used to be a thing where I could go, yeah, I was wondering what the molecular structure of styrofoam is.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
What was it no, back
four,
in the day?
No, 411 was directory assistance. Yeah, I need the number of the dentist in Highland.
It seems
which
like
dentist would that?
Up, there was something like that where I could call it and they would...
Yeah, but it wasn't a
I don't think that was
411. It was like, I believe it was a not a 1-900, but it was a pay. It was a toll service. Like the whole point of it was that you would... It was before the internet. You had questions that you couldn't answer.
But it's like, it was definitely a thing because it became, you know, something that people say.
Oh, 411 was information. That was, yeah. In the old Ma Bell era, 411 was information and you called it for directory assistance. Like, yeah. I need the number of such and such. But because it was, the service was called information, it became a synonym for any kind of information. Then there's also what Scott's talking about, where there was a phone number where you could just call and ask questions about stuff.
Yeah. Right.
I don't remember. That was not 411, I don't think. I don't think that was ever the same thing. And then, Beef points out the long-distance information was 555-1212.
Are you brave enough to try this browser?
That's good. I like
pretty
that
good.
One.
Brave name, yeah.
Didn't we...
A brave new internet?
Hold on. I feel like we had a similar headline recently.
I meant to talk about why it's called Brave.
Maybe I'm just having deja vu.
maybe they just have the domain, but I don't like...
No, I'm looking through our past headlines and I don't see anything. So, all right. I guess I'm just having deja vu. So it must be the headline we pick because I remember it.
I mean, Brave is a cool name, but yeah, it sort of indicates like, ooh, is this dangerous? Do I have to be brave? But it's
maybe
more like bravely changing the ad model for publishing.
Or bravely breaking with the existing, I don't know. Every time I hear the name Brave, I think of the Sarah Bareilles song.
Brave enough to browse different?
Oh, isn't that just cribbing off Apple's Think Different ad campaign?
Yes.
Eat different.
And? That's what headlines do. They crib off things all the time.
Headless man found in topless bar.
Exactly.
What about browsing via Brave?
Adless browser found in adful state.
Brave browsing. Brave. The Atlanta Braves make a browser.
Is this browser brave or crazy?
Brave a new ad model.
Brave. Do you crave Brave?
I need an answer.
Also smells like men's cologne.
Brave smells like men's cologne.
Oh, sounds like men's cologne.
Oh, how old is it? Is it how long has Brave been available to them?
CK Brave.
Brave by Menon.
Because if it was 12 days, you could. No, I can't say it. Never mind.
If you're drowning in Dracar Noir, try Brave. Was it Dracar? Dracar?
I don't remember. It was Dracar Noir. Yeah, all
Brave,
boys wore that.
Not just for redheads.
What?
Well, oh, from the Pixar movie. I get it. 12 Days of Brave.
There could be a Braveheart joke in there somewhere.
No.
I think it's getting to.
You don't think I should do that one, Tom? You don't think that would be?
I think that we should not do that one.
Okay, I think you're right. Now that I've thought about it.
Tom had a bowl of Grumpos this morning.
Wow.
What? Did you hear what he said?
No, I wasn't listening.
Yeah. I said 12 years of Brave or 12 state.
Oh yeah, Brave. That's
Scott,
that's terrible.
Bad reference.
I mean, I may be grumpy. That I'm not denying that, but
I'm just kidding.
I will cop to it. It was a bad reference.
What about the Think Different one? I mean, we might be overthinking this.
Brave enough to browse different.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's all right.
Or brave enough to browse different.
Yeah, with a question mark.
Yeah,
also, I'm going to say differently to distinguish us from Apple.
So brave enough to think differently?
Brave enough to browse differently.
Browse differently.
Browse.
It's very British sounding. Browse. What's browse?
Sounds German.
Browse.
Yeah, it does.
The word browsers, when you think about it, it's like, yeah, it started out making a lot of sense, but and there's browsing that is done via a browser, but it, yeah. it's not
but with
really
e-commerce,
the right word anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, you're here to buy. Not just
you're
browsing.
Buying or you're not browsing, you're specifically going to destinations.
Also, how did web become a place you surfed? It's not an ocean, it's a web.
It's a great question.
I would assume you'd climb it.
But there's no real, you're surfing, you're
well,
not.
Originally you were, it was weird, you were surfing.
Well, the Netscape Navigator kind of gave an oceanic feel to it.
It was lifted from channel surfing. So you were surfing the web in the
that,
same way you would surf TV.
There it is. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, what else would you say? Hopping the web?
Right, right.
Transposing.
Although anytime anyone says surf the web now, I'm like, what? What decade is this?
I just get on my web ring and, you know, surf the web.
Hey, let's just be glad that we were a thief.
You start with your web ring and yeah. branch from there. I like it.
Series of tubes.
I can't believe
be
that I lost
web
control
ring,
of the web ring.
We can all be, we can be a web ring about cartoons.
Sometimes I'll save sites that I find in my web ring to delicious.
Nice.
Who ended up with Delicious?
It got bought by like Yahoo and then got spun back out as an independent thing.
And then just...
I think it's still an open source project that's kind of, you know, trundling along.
I think it was the name of that. It was the same company that bought Dig. I think they might have bought Delicious too.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually. Yeah, when you search for Delicious now, it's...
You can go to dell.icio.us and it's still there.
Wow. That's like, I went to what would, or no, you're the man now, dog. So YTTMD or whatever it was, .com. It used to be like this super meme-y, like animated GIF sound thing. And it was like a meme for a long time.
Did you just call a meme a meme-y?
Meme-y, like it's a little meme-ish.
Oh, I see. Meme-y, not actually.
Yeah, not meme-y.
With a Y at the end. Yeah.
No, I'm glad you said that. Just to clarify, I don't want anyone thinking I think meme is pronounced meme-y.
Oh.
Yeah, and the only reason, even if you did do that, I wasn't trying to make fun of you. It's just every once in a while someone will say that, and I'm like, you've only read that word. You've never actually heard anyone say that. Like, that's amazing.
So. Delicious was acquired by Pinboard in June of last year and was shut down on June 15th, becoming read-only, and users were encouraged to subscribe to the Pinboard service.
Mm.
Pinboard, I think I used it as a iPad app for a while.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember Pinboard. Speaking of words... Who's using Flipboard anymore?
People are.
I'm not saying no one does. I'm just
no,
wondering.
I know. I don't know who they are either because I haven't used it
really
in a long time.
I really used to love it. I loved it. But then when I stopped using my iPad on a daily basis, it wasn't the same on my phone. I didn't like it.
We used to use it for Sword and Laser, and my problem was the browser extension stopped working.
Oh, right.
Oh.
Plus, didn't Twitter change something in their API so your Twitter, the way you would see Twitter stuff changed or something?
I couldn't... It was probably a personal issue, not a widespread problem, but my bookmarks no longer worked, so I just stopped using it.
Well,
I couldn't add things to Flipboard, so I don't.
Flipboard. They should use that shot of Billy Joel in the "You Can't Stop the Fire" where he flips over the table when they mentioned the. Cola
That's
works.
A great idea.
Didn't start the fire.
Didn't start the
you
fire.
You can stop it.
It didn't stop.
We haven't figured that one out yet.
You didn't stop the fire. You're a fire department, and it is your job. You
too close. Too close. You'll get flagged.
Flagged. Tom's rendition of "We Didn't Start
just
the Fire."
Just a dead ringer for Billy Joel.
The content ID won't be able to tell the difference.
That was one of those songs where, and I know there's Billy Joel fans out there and he's wonderful, but it was one of those songs where I'm like, okay, it's clever. He said a lot of words. Like, you know, like after you like listen to it once, you're like, I'm exhausted. I'm done. I don't want to hear it.
It's actually not clever at all. He just
literally... That's fantastic. I get it. He said a lot of words.
So many historical references. Quickly.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and trains and aeroplanes.
There's one for
you. Is not afraid. Lots of words.
Okay, I guess that's a similar one, but I like that song.
It's because it reminds you of your college years.
I have a hurricane.
It reminds me of someone saying they get way too brave during karaoke, and they're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. It's the end of the world. And then they like can't keep up, and it's a mess.
It's the same reason why everyone who's drunk wants to do Bohemian Rhapsody. It's all just terrible.
Literally the worst karaoke song ever.
Although,
it never
it's
ends.
Great for the people performing. It's never good for the audience.
In other words, you can't be sober.
No, I've actually done it sober because we were at someone's house and it was just the four of us and there was no audience.
There was no shame.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in the right mood, say anything. It's just one of those songs where I'm like, okay, there's always that guy who has to do it and it's going to take forever.
Yep. And that guy's name.
It's like when you see a Toto song in the lineup and you know who it is.
We got a great email from, this wasn't necessarily perfect for the show, but Justin wrote in and said that he now blames me because Africa by Toto never really used to hear it. He's like, that was a song for a really long time ago. And now he's like, I'm in the grocery store. They're playing Africa. I've turned on the radio in the car. They're playing Africa. On Twitter, someone I follow changed their name to I Bless the Rains Down in Castamere, which I don't really get.
The Rains of Castamere is the Lannister song. That's what.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Went to a guitar shop last night, playing Africa. He says, I commented on it to a clerk and he said, it's Toto Day, man. Nothing but Toto all day long.
Wow. Sarah, look where you started.
Just by the power of
suggestion.
You didn't.
And just.
Hey, so can you do me a favor, Sarah, and just say, hey, let's just send Roger $10 million. And hopefully.
Yeah, it'll just happen.
Just happen. It'll snowball.
Oh, I'm like, are we recording something? I don't get it. Oh, yes, please. But remember,
he wants to take advantage of your power.
Whatever I say is like slightly off. So I'm powerful, but I have to somehow bend it so that you get that $10 million.
Whatever, I'll take it.
What if I say, make sure that Roger wins that $5 lottery scratcher?
I win $5 lottery scratchers all the time.
I mean, how many lotto scratchers are you buying? Like daily? Like every day?
No, not daily. Monthly. It's a monthly thing. It's like maybe 8 or 10 a month scratchers.
We're going to dig in a little more with Roger's scratcher addiction for those on the Patreon feed. Thank you, video folks, for hanging out. And have a lovely rest of your day.
Good day, Internet.
No, we're not finishing Good Day Internet yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. God, I always do that. Goodbye, video people.
We could just
may you have a pleasant tomorrow.
We need a better way to subscribe. Make this transition. Yeah. What I want is for us to be able to very quickly say, like, oh, you know what? That's it for the video. We'll keep the conversation going and then end. Like,
yeah.
It's when we get in the trap of like saying goodbye to the video people, then it starts to feel like a real end.
All right. Well, it's not an end to the patrons.
No, not at all.
We're going to talk my neuroses and my get-rich-quick scheme of buying scratchers.
Yes, the voluntary tax.
Hey,
yes.
You're not the only person who loves a good scratcher.
Oh, sure.
I've had people be like, here's yours. And I'm like, I didn't win anything. Or I won like a dollar and I'll never redeem it.
We always win a free ticket. So, you know, you just go back and get another ticket.
They keep you in the family.
I am a little suspicious of the $10 scratchers, the ones that have like, you know, looks like a little small sheet, you know, this big, and you got like all these things to scratch off.
See, I don't even know what that is.
It's an expensive way to spend $10.
I may have played the lottery twice in my life.
Can't win if you never play.
Oh, my dad used to get 10 quick picks every time he went to the grocery store.
You know, that's true of Las Vegas, too.
I have better luck in Vegas than I do with lottery in terms of winning. Like, stuff.
Well, yeah, because we
for my investment.
Yeah. Really slots hard to win that lottery.
And jet blackjack.
I just got a new Flipboard. I just got an email from Flipboard. That's too funny. We were just talking
about. No kidding. They heard you.
It's Sarah Lane's
Scott,
power.
We want you back.
What? All right.
What are we going to do with all this power?
All right. So make it $100 million. Let's not spitball the lowest stuff.
You're easy. I'll take $500,000.
I was going to say, I think we should all benefit from Sarah's powers, not just Roger.
If I'm giving you all that money, I want to cut.
No, definitely. You'll get it.
Sure. No problem.
How about a Brave browser 70%? That seems fair.
That's Sarah's new Brave use of her powers policy.
I like it.
Actually, would that suck, though, if your power worked for everyone else except you?
Oh.
But if I got you to win the lottery and you just shared the money with me, then that solves that.
Yeah, but would he?
Would I tell you?
When would he share?
Yeah, what if my powers only worked on people selfish enough not to help me benefit? It only made my enemies stronger.
This is what now you've got yourself a sci-fi story. Yeah. Or a ghost story or something.
Then you would have to be incredibly calculating and help the enemy of your enemies.
The Lane Paradox.
Oh, that sounds like a Netflix series.
Yeah, I think we should pitch this.
Let's do it. Probably needs a story.
You could use like really complicated social engineering to figure out what your enemies thought they wanted, but what you actually knew would ruin them.
Right. So you have to convince, like, you can only use your powers to give your enemies what they want. So your job is to convince your enemies that they want things that are damaging to themselves, like heroin.
Right. Yeah. You're going to sleep so good.
You're going to know success, like a certain level of success that drives them neurotic and like self-destructive. And
now it's a Twilight Zone episode. Yeah.
They'll do that on their own.
They got everything they wished for, and it was hell.
But the money really softens the blow. As they Scrooge McDuck in their giant vault of, you know, $100 bills.
Yeah, that whole money doesn't buy you happiness thing. I get it. But it sure cuts down on stress.
Yeah.
They are related.
It cuts down on the big stressors. But then it causes stress too.
That's true.
Yeah. Huh.
Mm. Thank you, Pastor Merritt.
Pastor Tom.
And that's
Pastor
why you Tom. Should give me 10%.
10% tithe and then a 20% finder's fee.
I was just thinking of the stress part because I went to dinner with a few people. I don't know, a few nights ago, four of us, you know, we all split the tab.
Yeah.
And I was for sure the poorest person at the table, but, you know, whatever. And, you know, I don't expect anybody to pick up the tab, but it was very expensive, even split four ways, like to the point where I wouldn't have gone.
Yeah,
I would have been like, no way, I'm not going. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, would be nice to be rich right now because I wouldn't care. Because
you wouldn't care. You'd be like, oh, that was more expensive than I expected.
No, whatever.
Whatever.
Just a number. You know, instead I was like, okay. All right, bye guys. Don't invite me to this.
Yeah. I hate it when they're like, let's meet up somewhere, and the place they pick is like the most expensive coffee house or the most expensive breakfast place. It's like, no.
I mean, it's also something I could have looked up.
It's
like,
fine
I didn't.
To do
I just
that.
Hadn't been to the restaurant before, so I walked in a little blind.
Well, but it's fine to have people meet up and expect them to. If you're going to pay, right? It's like I'm going to pick this fancy place to meet, but don't worry, I'm going to cover the check, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's different when you're like, hey, I want you to meet at this place, and I'm going to order a lot of drinks, and it's super expensive. And okay, now it's your turn to you pay your share.
Actually, that's the worst when someone kind of indulges in everything split four ways evenly.
Yeah, if it's out of balance, right? I've been with groups where if there's like two people who drank a lot and other people who didn't, they'll offer like, oh, you know what, let's split it like 70-30 yeah. or something, because
I'll cover
the
tip or
yeah
something.
Or exactly something like that, and that's fine.
But there's also the person who comes to like the 12 person dinner, which is a dinner, and they like don't eat, and then at the end they're like, well, I didn't really eat. It's like, why'd you come?
I just came for the company.
Now math is hard.
Also, I'm a part air fern, so I don't need to eat.
Math is hard.
You knew this before you invited me.
I didn't invite you. No one invited you.
Never invite an air fern to your 12-person dinner. That's the lesson we learned today.
What about a foghorn?
Like, oh, God, like the chicken from Warner Brothers?
Yeah, leghorn, foghorn, leghorn.
Oh, yeah. No, invite for a foghorn, leghorn, but not to a chicken restaurant.
I say.
I actually really missed that about living in San Francisco, depending on where I had lived, is you could hear the foghorn sometimes. Soothing to me. Mm. We have plenty of fog in my neighborhood now, but I don't hear foghorn.
You know what? Yeah. What I miss is the warning sirens, because I can tell when it's Tuesday.
Tuesday at noon. Yep. Mm-hmm. Everybody's
Tuesday.
We had
those in Greenville growing up too.
Really?
I think they were on Tuesday also. It was the air raid siren. Yeah.
Yeah, I never heard one.
The only time they were ever used outside of the test was when there was a chemical leak at one of the factories, and they wanted to alert people to check the news because there was an evacuation zone and stuff like that.
Yeah. Hmm.
What kind of chemicals do they use at a food factory? That would
ammonia. For cooling, I think. My dad, this is so weird. My dad discovered the leak because he was going in on the weekend to grab something out of the office, and we parked, and we got out of the car, and our eyes started watering because there was all this ammonia in the air. Ooh. And he was like, "Stay here." And my mom was like, don't go in there. And he like ran in there to do something to like see if he could turn the leak off, and then ran back out and was like, all right, let's get out of here. And then reported the leak. And then there was the sirens and everything. And my sister, who's the county clerk in Bond County, just found the paperwork that was filed in relation to that leak.
Wow.
When she was going through some files and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
I, because I'm in a tsunami evacuation zone and I'm just, you know, I make up scenarios to have anxiety about, I wish we would just like have a test that everybody knows about ahead of time, so we know what it sounds like and we know where to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what's going to happen is there's going to be a siren and everyone's going to panic and we're all going to flood to death. So I just want there to be a nice, safe way for us
preparation.
To just test it out. Yeah, just let me know what it's going to sound like so that I know.
That's why you should move further inland to like...
Well, I'm thinking about that right
now.
I'm not really that terrified of tsunamis, but the first couple of months I lived this close to the beach, I really did think about it. Like, I really want to know what that siren sounds like.
Yeah.
Just so I, you know,
I mean, I'm sure... It would be pretty obvious, but then you'd be like, wait, is it for a tsunami or is it for something else?
Exactly. And people are like, there's not going to be a tsunami because of the way that the reefs are in Catalina Island or something, you know, but I'm like, but it's a tsunami evacuation.
There are signs.
Zone.
Yeah.
Right. All over the place. Like there's always a first one.
I don't know. I feel like text messaging is pretty good for that stuff now too. So you'd probably get an alert.
Yeah, the worst is how do you do it when you're asleep?
How do you do what?
Like alert a bunch of people.
I mean, those emergency things on phones are pretty jarring.
Yeah.
Unless you sleep through.
They go through the do not disturb too.
See, not so, always flagged.
What are you flagged for?
I don't know.
Tom singing.
Flagged.
Flag is
probably it. My singing was so Billy Joel-like.
Uncanny.
Even though the video just finished, they're like, that's an infringement of Billy Joel's rights. Not because he sang the song, but because he sang it badly.
Just remember, they can't do the Bosom Buddies DVD release because there's still some issues regarding.
Just
the
remember that, folks. Just never forget.
Right. Never forget.
If we've learned one thing today,
Billy Joel will not let Bosom Buddies come out on a DVD box set.
Wait, is the theme song a Billy Joel song? I don't remember.
Yeah. The opening song to the Bosom Buddies?
What's the name of the song? You don't have to say
it. We didn't start the fire.
It is not.
I don't care what you do with my, it's my life.
Oh yeah.
Why don't they just change the music? That's what other DVDs
That's what
do.
Northern Exposure did, but I guess that's...
That's why Northern Exposure is impossible to watch unless you find the original.
I know, and the only way to do that is to buy the VHS versions or the first DVD.
Terrace House changes the music outside of Japan, too, and it's a whole different show. Because they use like Taylor Swift and Snow Patrol in Japan, and then outside the U.S. it's like bands...
Elevator music.
Nah, it's not elevator music. It sounds like stock... Like stock music.
That's what I've heard to stock music is elevator.
It's all elevator, music. Elevator music implies like light jazz to me. Which this is just like...
Not all elevator music.
Not all elevators.
In fact, most elevators don't have music, really.
Not anymore.
Hotels, they often do, but I don't...
You know what? If I were younger, I would have actually gone into the elevator repair biz because apparently there's a shortage.
Never too late, Roger.
Elevator technicians, and that's why there's a higher than normal rate of out of service elevators because there's not enough people to service them all.
I did not realize there was a higher than normal rate of out of service elevators.
Comforting to know next time my elevator gets stuck and I press that button, because I always wonder, like, how close are they? Are they really like ready to save me right now? Again,
you've never seen the emergency elevator repair machines streaking their way through Los Angeles.
Let's just say there's a reason why I used a
I've been stuck in an elevator more than once. It's not fun.
Oh, it's my nightmare.
And the thing is that there's always a person, like, you know, I wasn't stuck in an elevator for an hour or anything, but like enough to be like, is someone gonna save us? And then they do. So what happens when that person's sleeping on the job?
Usually that's the building guy. That's not the elevator guy. That's the building manager. Well, they have procedures to get you out.
But
I mean, there's a mechanism built in the elevators that generally...
It's the emergency elevator team. They're a secret squad of elevator rescue people.
EET.
Wait a minute. This sounds like a Netflix series.
Exactly.
And you can't see their faces because they're all blurred out.
Yep. That's right. So you know of them.
They move in the shadows.
Right.
And
the
shafts.
Shadows of elevators.
Yes.
Oh, they could play the Shaft music by Isaac Hayes.
Only on the Japanese edition.
Oh, that's true.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching or listening. And listening, in this case, because we're just still doing audio. And we will hope that you have a good day.
We do hope. We hope and will continue to hope.
Hope against hope.
For your continued good day.
We will always hope.
A new hope.
Hope springs eternal.
Hope floats.
I'd rather have a root beer float, but sure.
Bow and hope.
Good one.